No matter where you're from, communities large and small, there are issues in our state that affect us all. The voice for a better Arizona, News Talk 92.3, KTAR.
Family in Focus is the theme. It's Voice for a Better Arizona. It's Rob and Carrie here at about 1:35 on a Wednesday afternoon. Family in Focus means a lot of things, especially when you actually have one, because, Rob, you get told, oh, you got to find a way to spend time together as
right.
a family, time together as a family. How do you guys spend time together as a family? You look around, you go, where is that time? I'm having trouble finding that time. We're here to help you try to find that time. We're joined by Garen Griffiths. He's a family therapist with the Arizona Family Institute. He's a licensed clinical social worker. Hopefully he can tell me that spending family time does not just mean family dinners, because, Garen, I don't cook very much anymore. Thanks for joining us on Rob and Carrie. What tips do you have for us?
Oh, that's a great question. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people with their busy schedules aren't sitting down at the dinner table at night, so they have to be a little more creative in how they're going to see each other and all the different directions they're going. I think the first thing that they have to do is it has to be a priority. If it's not a priority in their family, all these different activities will get in the way, and all of a sudden weeks and months will go by and they won't spend much time together. So priority is first and foremost, number one.
Right. It's Little League championship season, so right now our priority has been a game every other night that lasts about three
right.
hours. And, you know, dinner time sometimes winds up being 9:30, and we've got homework, and we're tired, and we're also really, really dirty. So is there a way to find another place in the week? It might not involve food, but it involves all of you being together?
Right, exactly. And I think, you know, the dinner idea is a nightly thing, but with the schedules of everybody, that's not feasible for a lot of families. So what I found is effective is for families to just pick one night a week, if they can do that, and just say, hey, at this night, from this time to this time, maybe it's an hour, maybe it's two, we're going to do something as a family. We're going to go on a walk. We're going to watch a movie. We're going to go out for ice cream. Whatever the case may be, just maybe setting aside one night a week for a short period of time to get together, get rid of all the other distractions, and enjoy each other's company for a little bit.
Garen Griffiths is with us. He's a social worker with the Arizona Family Institute. This is the type of thing that they do over there. They help families sort of find this time. So when you talk about just kind of being together, is there sort of a guide of what you're supposed to talk about, or is it just the idea of talking and kind of catching up like normal conversations do?
Yeah, I think normal conversations, and if you try to force something, especially teenagers, they don't like to be forced to talk about anything. But just talking about everyday stuff, they'll present stuff, they'll share stuff that you can go with. And then I think families just being generally interested in their kids' lives and asking some basic questions helps. But if kids don't feel their families are interested in them, they're probably not going to talk a whole lot.
So you got to lay the back work in other words, to get to the point when they're teenagers, they're open and willing to talk.
Well, that is just it. It starts when we're talking about teenagers, then it starts when they're little kids, of building that relationship. Another thing that can be done is with kids is they spell love T-I-M-E. Huh. And they just want parents to spend some time with. And it doesn't have to be a lot of time. It can just be, you know what, my parents taking the time out of their busy schedule to spend time with me, that means the world to them. So I'm a strong proponent of like date nights, not only with your spouse, but also with your kids, spending one-on-one time, just one parent with that kid, alternating between mom and dad, or if it's just a single parent, trying to find creative ways to just spend one-on-one time with each kid.
Sometimes I find that we find things that work for us by accident. We found by accident last summer, because we had a daughter in college who would come and go a lot, we found that sitting down and watching cooking shows, Chopped was our favorite. It's a contest show where the chefs grade the kids and we all talk about what we would make with those three items. And it turned into one of the best family times that we had. Oddly enough, it was centered around a TV show, which I think we preach all the time. Hey, you know, turn the TV off. That for us wound up to be a reason for us to all sit down in one room at the same time and have something in common, which I found a little odd.
Well, yeah, but I think it's effective. I think when you're all interested in the same subject, whether it's cooking or, you know, any of these music shows, X Factor, American Idol, families will get really into it, and they'll be able to talk about it through the week. That gives them something to talk about. Hey, what about this person? What do you think about this? And it gives them something to engage in, not just during that hour. So I don't think that's bad at all. I think that can be really effective.
I feel a lot better.
Yeah, no doubt. That's a cool thing, no doubt about it. What if you have a teenager, Garen, and you're trying to communicate with them and you're having difficulties? Because I know that that's a lot. That's so relevant in a lot of parents' lives. Is there strategies? Is it trying to find that TV show? What other strategies could you give parents in that situation?
Great question. I think one there is seizing the moment. You know, sometimes parents want kids to talk when the parent wants to talk. But a lot of times kids are on their own timetables, teenagers especially. Maybe it's at midnight. Maybe it's at this time or that time. And parents have to be a little flexible and being willing to seize the moment when a kid's ready to talk. Or they're going to have to, or parents will also have to put down the remote, put down the paper. When that kid's ready, you better be ready to talk, or you're going to lose that moment again for a while.
Yeah, I've made coffee at 9:30 to stay awake to talk to the kid because I'm not awake at 9:30, mm-hmm. but sometimes the kids are. Last question from me, Garen. When you have the teenager, and sometimes they can be a little hard to reach, clues for noticing the difference between I've got a typical teenager who's being hard to reach and I've got a teenager who might need somebody like yourself, some professional intervention because something might be going on that's a little out of my ballpark.
Sure. There's a lot of things and every kid's different, but I think more than usual withdrawing, I mean, kids and teens especially, they start to withdraw from the family. They like to isolate in their bedroom with their headphones. But I think a parent has a good idea of when it becomes more than usual. When it's like, hey, wait a minute, they're not even doing this anymore. When they stop engaging in what they usually did before, or even little conversations, really start looking for that isolation and that withdrawing from family, maybe even friends. That's a big indicator of, hey, maybe I need someone to talk to, or you start seeing other signs of just behavior changes. School grades go down unexpectedly. Or different activities that they usually like doing, and they stop doing.
How normal is it for some type of issue like that to go on in a typical family? You know, in any family, I mean, you know, teenagers have that sort of reputation as being teenagers, and they get withdrawn. So, you know, is that something that, I don't know, 70% of families see at some point?
I think so, absolutely. I think it's very normal. I think when we get into some of the other behaviors, that are not normal for that kid. I get a lot of parents will tell me, well, I always suspected that maybe they were, say, example, substance use or something. But I wasn't sure this was different, and they don't trust their gut. So I think sometimes parents got to trust their gut a little bit more and their instincts and go, wait a minute, something's not right with my kid. And it's just not normal. There's a lot of normal behavior that teenagers do. But when it starts to get excessive, or just things that are out of the ordinary, you got to trust that gut instinct and be able to talk to them or get them in to talk to someone.
Oh, yeah, have them call you.
Yeah.
There you go. Absolutely.
I'm on your website right now. It's ArizonaFamilyInstitute.com, and there's a great parenting class scheduled. Do you find that when somebody takes your parenting class, they regret not having done it sooner, as in maybe there was a little shame association that I didn't know how to do this, and I was already 10 years in, and I had to take a class?
Yeah, I think a lot of people do that. And one, I'll say that parenting class is done by my colleague, Shiloh Lindahl. He does the Love and Logic parenting classes. They're fantastic classes and for both the younger kids and teenagers. And I think when people do, they get the information. They think, oh, man, I wish I would have gotten this. Because when you have kids, unfortunately, at the hospital, they don't give you a parenting manual in the hospital and say, here you go.
Right.
You're a parent. Now here's all the things you need to learn about it.
I know. I asked. They didn't have one for me either.
Right.
Yeah,
it'll probably be a huge volume like War and Peace, too.
Yeah,
and you get overwhelmed looking at it.
Garen, thanks for your time and for your expertise. Website's great. It's ArizonaFamilyInstitute.com. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Garen Griffiths, Arizona Family Institute. Doing this series, having been a parent, and then you look at all these resources and you're like, why the heck didn't I look at this before? Because there are a lot of things, a lot of road. You know, you don't want to admit that you're having difficulty with a certain problem because you think, well, no one's ever done this before. Guaranteed thousands of other parents have done it before. Somebody's probably got a book on it. Google it. And you've got a local resource like this. It's a great place to turn.
And it's easy and it's affordable and all that stuff, which is why we reached out to them. It's part of our Family in Focus, Voice for a Better Arizona series, trying to get the information out there to help all of us.